Good morning, everybody. Great to be with you again. And a big thank you to David and his team for leading our worship this morning. And thank you for choosing to join us wherever you are. And please get in touch with us. We love to hear from you. And if we can help in any way, especially through these difficult times, get in touch with us via our church office. And someone will be able to return your message. I have a question for you as we begin to look at the next session of Galatians in our series this morning. Are you ready? Here it is. Are you a rules keeper or a rules breaker? Think about it for a moment. You may have noticed how much people vary in their attitude to rules. We see this in our children from quite an early age. Some of them absolutely love rules and will follow them almost religiously, it can seem to us, and they're quick to dob in a friend or a sibling if they see one of them breaking a rule. And then there are others for whom rules are just another of life's challenges. How can I get around this one without getting caught or getting into too much trouble? You may have a child or a grandchild who fits into one of these categories. You may fit rather neatly into one of them yourself. Here's a little test or quiz I have for you that you can take regarding your attitude to rules. It's not hard, just three questions, and you don't even need a pen. Here's the first scenario. You're driving along a good country road, very little traffic. Do you ever find yourself driving a little faster than the law suggests you should? Please choose from the following three options. A, frequently, but only when it's safe. B, occasionally, unintentionally, of course. Or C, certainly not. No, never. A, B, or C, which sounds most like you? Here's the second scenario. If you are or have been a parent with young children at home, how do you go with the rules that you expect your children to follow? Again, three options. Do you personally keep the rules you set for your children? A, I'm their parent. The rules are for the kids. B, I'm careful whenever the kids are watching. Or C, I keep all the rules that I expect my children to follow. And one more that's fairly topical. We're now well into our 6 weeks of stage three restrictions. Unless you're picking this up from Melbourne and you're in stage four, and we've had to put up with social distancing, hand washing, and those horrible masks. How are you going with it all? Do you strictly observe all the COVID instructions? A, not if I see no danger of contracting the virus or getting caught. B, I bend the rules a little, but only when it's safe. Or C, I scrupulously obey all the rules. That's it. How did you go? Did you get straight A's? I guess that makes you a rules breaker at heart. And of course, three C's, and you're definitely a rules keeper. Or maybe you're like me. You're somewhere between those extremes, depending on the circumstances and the particular rule. And I'm not saying which ones I answered with something other than C. The Old Testament is a history of God's people, and especially their interaction with the rules or laws God gave them. I've been reading through the Old Testament again this year, and I've just reached the minor prophets. Sadly, and to their detriment, God's people in Old Testament times were serial rule breakers. Their history is a series of disaster and God's intervention. And then Jesus arrives on the scene, sent by God, and he establishes a whole new way for God's people to relate to him. What about the old way? What about all those laws? We're indebted to Paul, and especially this letter to the Galatians, for putting these different elements in their proper place. This morning, I want to consider, firstly, three key figures in God's overall plan of salvation for his people. And our first important person is Abraham, the father of promise. He's often referred to as the father of the Jews. He was a man of great faith, and when God called him to leave his homeland and travel to another country, and when God tested him by asking him to sacrifice his much longed for son, Abraham obeyed. Now, we know God intervened, and he didn't actually have to sacrifice Isaac, but he was willing to trust God, even with something as horrible as this. And God honoured Abraham's faith through a series of promises. He promised to bless Abraham personally and make him the father of many nations, even though at the time he and Sarah had no children. God speaks of an everlasting covenant with Abraham and his descendants. He speaks of the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession for his people. We understand then something of the Jews' passion for Israel today. It's the last clause of God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 that particularly interests us today, as it did the Galatians back then. "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you," God said to Abraham. With the wisdom of hindsight, here is a clear reference to Jesus and the salvation he came to bring to whoever would receive him. Today, we stand in direct succession to Abraham as his descendants, not by birth, of course, but by faith. Paul writes to the Galatians, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Because we belong to Jesus, everything God promised to Abraham, spiritually at least, falls to us as Abraham's heirs. I mentioned before three key figures in God's plan of salvation. The second of these is Moses, the giver of the law. Now, of course, it was God who gave us the law, not Moses, but he passed it down to his people through Moses. And if you haven't already guessed who the third figure is, I don't plan to keep you in suspense. It's Jesus, of course. So we have Abraham, father of promise, and Jesus, our saviour, redeemer and friend, and squeezed in between them is Moses, the giver of the law. Do you think Moses would reckon he drew the short straw, given the absolute blessings that Abraham and Jesus brought to us? Can you hear Moses saying, "Well, don't blame me. I never wanted the job"? Do we sometimes wonder why God didn't just cut out the middleman and pass directly from Abraham to Jesus? Can we acknowledge this morning that this is God's plan of salvation, not ours, and look instead for his purpose in giving us the law? In our passage from Galatians this morning, Paul defines this for us. As Ange told us last week, God gave us the law to be our guardian, our custodian. And Paul explains here that this was for a definite and limited duration. Think about the role of a guardian or custodian with me for a moment. A custodian, guardian, looks after things for somebody else. They don't belong to him or her. It's a responsibility that lasts for a time, and when that set time is over, the responsibility is discharged and the owner resumes control. When that guardian is looking after a minor, the designated heir to his or her father's estate, this is a time of preparation and limited opportunities. We don't give our young children free access to the lolly jar. When they've grown older, more mature, and have discovered the benefits of self-control and self-discipline, they can be trusted with greater freedom. One day, this fortunate child will take over the whole estate. What happens then to the lessons his guardian or tutor has been teaching him? Does he or she no longer need the skills required, or gained rather, in this time? Of course not. The lessons we learn as children are to benefit us throughout our adult years. We can be glad we have a Moses in the history of our faith. we can be very glad that there are three key figures in this history and that we live today under the benefits of the third of these figures, who is, of course, Jesus, restorer of relationships, fulfiller of God's plan. What a mouthful. And of course, that only scrapes the surface of all Jesus brought us when he came. Saviour, Redeemer, Teacher, Friend. I'm sure you can think of other ways, other roles that Jesus plays in your life. Verses 4 and 5 of chapter 4 are key verses in our study this morning, and perhaps they form the best summary of Paul's whole letter to the Galatians. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Of course, I don't know God's mind or what made that particular time the right time for God to send us his Son. But Paul tells us here clearly that the set time had fully come, that the time of the law, the time of our guardianship, was completed. We were deemed to be ready to receive at least the beginnings of our inheritance as true sons and daughters of the Most High God. It would be hard to overstate the importance of this verse. Paul tells us that during the period of our guardianship, while we were considered to be still under age, heirs in waiting, we were really no better off than one of the owner's household slaves. For Paul and the Galatians, and for us today, those times are in the past. The law was our guardian, he tells us, until Christ came. There's the end of our guardianship. From that time on, those who would come to Jesus in faith are justified not by obeying the rules, but by our faith in him. Hear Paul's official pronouncement in verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Verse 28 has become rather famous for spelling out the scope of God's fatherhood and our relationship with him. Of course, there are still different ethnic backgrounds, different social positions in society today. And you may have noticed God still makes us male and female. But these differences, important as they are in other aspects of life, are irrelevant to our standing with God. We are all his precious and beloved children, all heirs, equal heirs to the blessings of his kingdom. Feel free to jump out of your chair and let out a hallelujah if you're so inspired. These are the truths that need to be celebrated. And they need to be appropriated. Ange told us the story last week of that big black bear who, released from his confinement, opted to hang around familiar territory. What a sad story that was. And a sad reflection of how many Christians choose to live their lives today. David Wilson, our college principal years ago, had a term for it. He used to call it living beneath our privilege. God calls us and adopts us as his sons and daughters. Why would we continue to live as slaves? I want to finish this morning with a few practical implications. What does it mean to us today to live as sons and daughters of our Father in heaven who loves us, rather than striving to please God as our righteous judge and convince him to accept us on our own merits? One of the most exciting and rewarding of all human experiences is becoming a parent. It's hard to describe that sudden surge of love for this helpless little child God has chosen to place under our care. What a privilege. What a daunting responsibility. Fathers feel this as well as mothers. And when our children start to reciprocate and begin to return their love to us in a variety of delightful ways. Well, it's pretty special. Now, God is probably not daunted by the responsibility of caring for his newly adopted children, but he tells us repeatedly throughout Scripture how much he loves us. If we, ordinary, fallible people, are sometimes almost overwhelmed by the love we have for our children, how much greater is our Heavenly Father's love for those he calls his own? And how great is his delight when he finds that love returned? And how great is our privilege when we realise the potential we have to create joy, to create delight for the one who created the universe and us. We started this morning by talking about rules. Yes, we have rules in our families, especially when our children are young. But love is the fundamental force that binds us to each other, not rules. The rules are there, but they are not an end in themselves. Rules help to guide our behaviour, which in turn allows love to flourish. I started this morning by asking if you are by nature a rules keeper or a rules breaker. Really, that's the wrong question when it comes to relationships within a family and our relationship with God. So let me ask you instead, as we close this morning, what motivates you as a child of God? Are you still seeking to earn brownie points with him by doing the right thing? Do you still have a nagging inner fear that you might not have done quite enough to impress him? Or does love for your Father, who gave you life and calls you his child, draw from you a desire to please him as your ultimate goal in life? This is what real freedom consists of. Not just freedom from obeying rules in order to earn God's favour. Freedom to serve. Freedom to love. Freedom to give. Freedom to please God, who delights in the response of his children. As Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this little letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, so relevant to us today, such great lessons that he has encapsulated there for us and our situation. Father, we thank you for the freedom that you give us. Thank you that we don't have to strive ceaselessly to please you or to impress you. Thank you for that great love that sent Jesus among us so that we might truly be adopted into your family as your precious and loved sons and daughters. Father, help us this week as we go into the week that you have prepared for us, as we meet the people that you have prepared for us to meet. May we reflect that love in the way we treat them and the way we live our lives. And may others, as a result, be drawn to you and discover for themselves something of that great love you have for them. We ask these things in and through the name of our Saviour Jesus. Amen.